Bobbity Boom, ladies and gentlemen. Episode 4, Wisdom for the Way podcast. Zachary?
Blainer.
Good day.
How are you?
Good, man. Energy is going to be high. Not to get off topic right off the bat, but the Boston Bruins. First off, hope everyone in Toronto is being safe. I got lots of friends in Toronto, and we don't want another Vancouver occurrence, but...
Crazy.
Craziness, man.
Crazy.
I've been brainwashed as a fetus to cheer for the Bruins. My old man's license plate is B. Bruins. growing up, we had a dog named Cash after Wayne Cashman, a cat named 12 after Adam Oates, and a cat named 8 after Cam Neely. So that's why I'm a Boston fan. I'm not a bandwagoner, but there's lots of room on the bandwagon. So, but yeah, that was most exciting. Professional sports at its finest.
How does that happen?
Man, it's like Cinderella's story.
But three goals, 10 minutes, mm-hmm. Game 7.
And then the OT clincher.
That's a Flames move. That's a Flames collapse.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say on the losing end of things.
Yeah. No, definitely not on the winning end of things.
That's what we were doing before this. And
so
then
you're all jacked up on Mountain Dew tonight.
So we're going to have a little bit of energy here. Again, great feedback. iTunes, we got a little bit of popularity going on the meter, and things are rocking and rolling. There's a few things that have come up, and just to try and shed a little bit of clarity, I did change a little bit of our tags and our references as far as what we are searchable under. Zach, I didn't tell you that.
But no.
We're just under health now.
Oh, we're not alternative health.
Okay, yeah. Alternative's out the window. We're just healthy.
Gotcha.
But I guess it's mainly for people that don't know myself or Zach that well that are having a hard time. They don't know if it's like a comedic podcast or just, positive living, more of a self-help podcast. And the answer to that question is yes. I don't think there are too many people, if any, podcasts out there right now that are doing something like this. Like one of my good friends, Sandra from Toronto, had a really good tweet that I retweeted. If anyone's following me on Twitter, and it's Zen living with kind of a modern day twist and some light humor to make things a little transitional in the process. So hopefully everyone is on board for that, because that's the way that we're going.
Gotcha. Whether they like it or not.
We're sticking with it.
Right on.
So remember last episode when we were talking about school? And I told you I was a shitty student.
Yeah.
So remember the worst days in school? I don't know if you ever had this, but you go to school, maybe you missed a few classes, maybe you're just slacking off, and you didn't do your homework.
Gotcha.
And the teacher's walking around, and you're just waiting for them to fucking come to you because you didn't do your homework.
Yeah.
So this is what I felt kind of all day today. For those of you that doesn't listen to episode 3 yet, Zach gave me so much fucking homework.
I give you one thing to do.
No!
Oh. Okay.
So, my whole plan in this was going to say, first off, thank you for pumping my tires. You know, when you were talking about your sister?
Yeah.
You guys were pumping my tires saying, Blaine, just get shit done.
Yeah. And then,
just wait. And then, so I was going to say, thank you for pumping my tires, but you can fucking deflate them now. But, lo and behold, after that, boom! So what I just gave Zach is a male friend's name and phone number.
I won't say his name, but...
No, so I'll tell you how it happened. It was super cool.
This isn't your writing.
No, it's a dude's writing. It's legit, and it happened so organically.
You picked up a dude.
I picked up a dude, man. So I'm at my day job, and like selling construction supplies, I said this before, you get all walks of life, usually it's like older dads and dudes and stuff. So whenever young people walk in, I always try and help them right away, just so we have, makes the sales process a little easier if it's someone in your same demographic. So a tall dude came in, all tatted, looked relatively hip, whatever.
Were you attracted to this man or no?
mentally?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, gotcha.
So kind of cocky me on from a salesman point of view, whenever someone's ordering something, I always try and guess what they're building. So they like order 3 items, I'll be like, when do you want to have your fence completed by or something like that?
Yeah.
Just shows that I know my shit.
Yeah.
So this dude ordered 3 items and I'm like, oh, what size mini ramp are you building? So he's a skateboarder and he's building a mini ramp.
Did his jaw hit the ground?
Yeah, he's like, oh, 8x10. I'm like, sweet, I built one with my buddy a few years ago. So we started jawing about that, walking to the yard. And he's like, oh, I'm like, how long have you been skating for? And blah, 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 blah. He's like, I'm skating forever. I'm like, oh, I was a cocky asshole in high school that tried to hit skateboarders with my car. And the guy started skating when I was 22, and he started talking. He's like, yeah, I run just skate camps. I'm like, oh, for kids? He's like, no, for all people. I'm like, whoa, I can ollie like 2 inches. Yeah. I'm like, do you have a business card or anything? He's like, no, but here's, if you don't, give me a call sometime.
Boom,
boom, bam.
Pick up, pick up.
So homework one, completed. Homework two, vision board, not complete.
I didn't expect. You were going through a move.
Going through a move.
Yeah.
And then the only downtime I had was at the fire hall. So if I was making a vision board at the fire hall with alpha male people, I would have even more of a negative reputation than I already have.
Gotcha.
So,
So what are you going to do with this number?
I'm going to ring him up and go skateboarding.
Yeah?
Yeah. Why not, man?
Good for you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very impressed. You did it.
Yeah, I was fully ready to have, you know, we say a few things, we're going to do all this stuff, and next episode, we haven't done any of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did it, and it turned out great.
Can I show you, you didn't give me homework? But I picked up a dude, too.
Hi from yoga.
I picked up a guy in the locker room.
Well, tell me a story.
Today, actually. Did you do this today?
Yeah.
Right on. It's Monday pickup
dude day.
And tiny dressing room or like change room after or whatever.
I know that change room.
It's tiny. Yep. And you know the pants down like the butt press with another guy. You're always scared that's going to happen, you know?
Splash down.
Yeah. And anyways, this totally nice guy. He's been helping me out with a few things. And he got my number in the change room. I didn't get his, but he got my number, and then he texted me or whatever. But it's kind of awkward when a guy's getting your number in front of other dudes in a change room. It's a little bit awkward. I don't know what else to say about it.
You almost have to like throw out an extremely heterosexual comment. Oh, you see that chick in there? See her?
And we're just going to pound beers while we...
Manly.
Yeah, stuff.
Yeah.
It was a little awkward, but really nice guy, so he wanted to go for coffee, but I said, no, I got to go meet my friend Blaine. So I didn't go for coffee with him.
When you go for coffee, you got to get him on board. Our
with
little,
this?
Little journey here.
So why don't we bring our boyfriends to our podcast?
And we will make no more boyfriends after. Or they could steal our idea and steal all of our thunder, because they're probably a lot better at us than this.
True. Right on.
So still yoga?
Day 23. And it's... Oh, I almost swore there.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You can.
Fucking
hard?
Yeah, really hard. And you know what the worst part is? And this is how I picked up this dude. Or he picked up me, whatever. How I made a friend is because it's becoming more about emotional shit than anything else. Like, I'll be doing it. And then I'll want to cry or laugh or do just silly stuff in the middle of it. And it doesn't make sense. It's freaking stretching. Like, why am I... But it's... Honestly, it's quite intense. It's really quite intense. And it's freaking yoga. And I'm doing it for 20-some-odd days. That's not a big thing. But it's really deep for me for some reason. And I'm seriously addicted. I like it.
That's good.
Like, I don't think if I went a day now, I would feel very... incomplete without it, you know?
And that works. So there's like two things that you just made me think of. Do you remember probably 3 or 4 years ago on the news, a group in Calgary came out with laughing yoga?
Yeah.
Remember hearing about that?
Yeah.
And groups would just get comfy, sweatpants, sit down in a studio and just look at each other and laugh. And it's funny because I don't remember whoever it was that said it, but if you're ever having a bad day or a grumpy day, and this is the fucking cheesiest thing ever, but it actually works because you feel like just such a loser.
Yeah.
Ever having a bad day, go in front of a mirror, start smiling, and then just start laughing.
Yeah.
And you'll just, like, think you look funny, and then you actually start laughing, or you think of something else, and you start laughing, and it actually fucking works.
Yeah.
So if you're getting those kind of reactions and outbursts from it, if you're gaining flexibility and getting in, you know, physical fitness, I guess that's half of it, and the other half would be the mental health things.
Yeah, no, it's great. I really enjoy it. I did do a laughing yoga when I was traveling, and people sit in a circle, and you put your stomach... We ended the class this way. You put your stomach on people's... your head on other people's stomach, and it goes like that around the circle.
So it's like a giant spoon? A group spoon?
That's group spoon. And then one person just kind of starts shaking their stomach, and then it just goes around, and before you know it, you're like in the, like, when I start laughing that
hard. Oh, you get back cramp?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I was just like, but I don't make any noises when I'm laughing that hard. So I just have like the silencer and then it turns into like I'm join the band Weezer because I just wheeze the entire time. You know? And yeah, it's crazy. You're just sitting with a group amount of people and just laughing. It's fun.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah.
I'm such a nerd. If you were to look at my Google history, you just made me think of something, and I wasn't trying to do 10 things at once right now. I would Google it. I want to Google Bruce Lee yoga.
Huh.
Because that was like 69, 70-ish.
Yeah.
Because my other two Bruce Lee Googles as of late have failed. Bruce Lee Canada, nothing.
Yep.
Never came here. And then, this is super dumb, Bruce Lee golf. I wanted to know if he ever golfed.
Nothing?
No.
Huh.
Because there's actually an amazing transition between, like, the Zen mindset and golf.
I believe it.
Because if you transition it into the, you know, the focus point of view, like, you have to focus on one thing, try and block everything else out.
Yeah.
Like Caddyshack. No. Yeah. But yeah, Bruce Lee never golfed. But I'm not going to give you homework. I think I'm going to give you a GIF pretty soon.
Oh, okay.
You ever heard of Art of Expressing the Human Body?
No.
It's a Bruce Lee book.
Okay.
And it's just about physical fitness.
Okay.
And it's tons of stretching, tons of plyometrics, a little bit of weight training and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So just not saying that you would need another motivator, but after the yoga challenge.
Right on.
I'll give you that next challenge. Maybe we'll do it together.
Perfect.
Yeah.
You're big goalie guy, hey?
Mm-hmm.
So stretching and, because that's the craziest thing. Like, I would go out for, like, Calgary Sport and Social Club, play softball, and pull a hamstring within, like, the first 6 minutes. But it was probably because I had two beers in my hand and I hadn't stretched. But, like, I'm getting, obviously, a little bit older. But, yeah, like, just doing that stuff seems like a crazy workout right now. But talking about sports. What is your sports history with competitiveness? Are you a big competitive guy?
I am, but I reserve it. So, like, Greg Hill, our friend, the most competitive person in the world.
Yeah.
And Hill and I, like, were super close. He was the best man at my wedding. Love him to death. But the only time we ever get in, like, heated arguments is I'll beak him for being too competitive.
Yeah.
And then it'll just snowball from there. I am extremely competitive, but I keep it inside. Like, I think it was because the most competitive I was when I was 16, 17, 18. Competitive hockey and golf at the same time. I just didn't have any need. I wouldn't say I was successful all the time, but I didn't really have any need or any huge hardships to make me that competitive.
Yeah.
I was just more easy and go with the flow. But now, this is a bold statement, but so I played like AAA midget as a goalie and then had a little cup of tea with a few junior teams. Played 4 horrible years of Junior B. Got lit up like a fucking Christmas tree.
Yeah, yeah.
Took a few years off, and now, just playing men's league, I'm 10 times the goalie I am.
Yeah.
And it's so weird, because that competitive edge isn't there, and I'm so much better.
Right, right.
And that's so weird.
But, so you, what's the most competitive thing you're in now? Golf? Like, do you feel? No?
I would say golf. Like, I wanted to try out for the Alberta Amateur this year and do other things than that, but house and life and baby get in the way. I'd probably say, look, sports competitiveness, zero in my life right now.
Yeah.
Absolutely zero.
But you need that outlet, don't you think? Or
yeah,
no?
Maybe I do. I guess, fuck, I don't know. Maybe that's what's missing.
I don't know. Because, like, when I we were talking about, signs and connectivity and things that happen in your life. Did it happen for a reason and things like that? For sports, for me, I was playing, I was 16 playing Babe Ruth here in Calgary. And we had played 16-year-old All-Stars, done the West Coast trip and things like that. 17, start getting interest from colleges and things like that. So I was playing second base. It's maybe a 10-foot throw from second base to there. And I remember taking a ground ball. And I, not pumped my tires, but I was
good.
Good, yeah. Went to go throw the ball. And I put my arm back and went to throw. And it was like it was paralyzed. I couldn't move my arm.
Hmm.
And all I remember is this guy in right field. I won't say his name. He's just like, throw the fucking ball! And I was just like, I couldn't move. I knew, I knew there was a lot of people in the stands that you needed to impress and all that sort of thing. And I went to throw, and it landed about 4 feet in front of the first baseman. The guy was safe. And I was just like, what the hell happened? What happened? And I've never had this problem before. And after that, lost all my confidence in baseball. I lost my ability to even throw a baseball. I lost my ability to play catch with your dad and things like that. Like, I just, you know, all that sort of built up performance anxiety, things like that. And actually, there's two guys that's happened to, Steve Sachs and Chuck Knoblauch. Both, I believe, played for the New York Yankees, but there's actually now something called Steve Sachs syndrome.
Wow.
And it's when you get so much anxiety, so much pressure on yourself, and when your body, like a golf swing, right? You know how to swing a golf club, but you get up in front of that clubhouse, you know, first tee box, there's more pressure on you and things like that, and your body tenses up, and all of a sudden those motor memories that you've done thousands of times, now it's like a robot, and it's clinky and, you know, all that sort of thing. And so that happened. And it was devastating for me to lose that, because when you're a sports guy, we're sports guys, that's the locker room is half the fun. You and when you lose that, like, I ended up going to Australia after, because I was just like, when I couldn't play ball, I graduated high school, I was like, I just got to get out of here, you know? But you lose that confidence. But all this time, I was like, why did that happen? Why did that need to happen? I love sports. I came back and I played Calgary Colts. I played football after that. But it was never the same. Once you lose that confidence in sports, it's hard to regain. And when your whole life is based around sports and you lose that confidence in that one thing, it's a ripple effect. And ripples into relationships. It ripples into, you know, business, your work, all those sorts of things, your career. But now I think, you know, one of the quotes that Henry Ford had that I think I said before was like, whether you think you can or you can't, either way, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that, because once you get that negative thinking, so after that, every time I took a ground ball, it was like, don't throw it in the dirt. Don't throw it in the dirt. Oh, don't throw it in the dirt. Don't screw up. Don't screw up. Don't screw up. Well, what did I do? I screwed up every time. Well, of course I did, because I was telling you, negative thinking, all that sort of thing. And I actually went into kinesiology and mind sciences and tried to figure out what the heck happened, you know? Why did this happen to me? I never got the answers. But recently, I think it's because I needed to realize that you have to go to, you know, when you figure out, yes, every negative thought I have can come to fruition if that's the only thing that I'm thinking. And now I'm starting to flip it and starting to see, okay, and that's how I'm proving myself that how powerful your thoughts are, is because not because I've been able to prove that I can manifest a house or a girl or a ton of cash, but I was able to manifest really crappy things.
Exactly.
So I'm like, okay, I've proven that I can make myself feel like crap. I can take away my dream of playing baseball in college. And then there's got to be a flip side to that coin, right? So I don't know. That's kind of my thoughts about that.
And obviously the negative thing is a lot easier.
Exactly. Like, most and that's people, where we all go to, right?
Those of you that aren't that familiar with hockey or goalies, goalies get labeled flakes for a good reason. Because you're not fucking normal to stand in front of a flying piece of rubber 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
But when you said miss that ground ball, same thing as goalies, dude. You let in one goal five hole, rest of the game, you're fucked. Might as well just yank yourself.
Yeah. Look at Fleury with the Penguins, right?
Like, tanking.
Yeah.
It's so, so mental. So that's the tricky thing. It's mental on your part, but the also part is that's the tricky thing about a teamwork, like a team.
Yeah.
Be it sports or work with any team in like a work environment. So not only do you have your own adrenaline, your own emotions, but you also have to rely on the other, everybody else.
Yeah.
So as good as morale can be in the room after a win, it's fucking devastating after a loss.
Yeah.
Like, try to remember all the good games and pat on the back you got. You could probably remember a handful of them, but you can remember every single negative comment.
Absolutely.
You remember that dude yelling from left field. Yeah. I remember one of my teammates in Pee Wee calling me out for letting in a goal in overtime.
Yeah, yeah.
So, not to, you know, belittle team sports, but I think if you're, like, say you're 6 years old, you have good genes, you're sports-driven, I think individual sports, you would have the most chance of success being it in the upper echelon.
Yeah, no, I agree with
that. Because you are in, like, that's why golf, you know, even like combat sports like jiu-jitsu or wrestling or boxing or anything, if you are in full control of your abilities, then the only, I guess, contributing factor to your failure would be the mental side of things.
But I think there's so much, we've got comments from viewers that we just agreed with each other, like two little kids and playing on the field. I don't know. So I'm gonna disagree with this part. I think team sports are amazing for lessons in life. Like, I feel like most of the things I learned about how to interact with people, how to work together with people, how to be work with people that you don't really like that much, all those things came from sports, from when I was playing hockey from 6 till 20, you know, dude. And things. I think team sports is a great lesson in life, and that's why it was so devastating when you lose sports. And I think that's why guys have trouble when they go through that transition period of playing sports all the time, and then they don't, and then they just don't know what to do, because there is a lot of lessons in life and in sports. And okay, that's not fair. It's girls and guys, you know, both have those lessons in team sports. But I think team sports are amazing for that. And if any kids struggle, I think you put, because you know the guys that weren't the quote-unquote in the dressing room guy, mm-hmm. you know, and things like that. But it brought them out of their shell, right?
Exactly.
It allowed them to be like, oh, I am a part of a team and things like that. And I think that's great. Not saying that, you know, that individual guy doing figure skating or the individual guy doing badminton or things like that aren't good. But I think team sports.
But if it's that individual side of things, then you could subsidize that, you know, lack of teamwork in other parts of your life.
Yes.
Friendship-based,
yeah.
Family-based, yeah. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the one, agree to disagree, right. But I guess the one positive thing about teamwork, and I'm just thinking through personal examples, so my parents, I touched on this before, I was raised, not to say perfectly, but I was raised great. Yeah. But I got in a big fight with my parents when I was in grade 8 or 9, because I had a girlfriend. And sneaking out of the house to see this chick. In junior high, my parents didn't like it. Yeah, for good reasons.
Right.
And my mom told this chick's mom that's the reason I'm playing competitive hockey. That's the reason I'm playing competitive golf, to distract me from other things in life. So probably distract you from other things in life is the bad word for it. And that's what fucking pissed me off so much. But who knows? Maybe if I, you know, if we talk about connectivity and why things happen, if I didn't play hockey, you know, you're playing competitive hockey, you're on the ice 6 nights a week.
Yeah.
And then I'd go to the driving range with Norm after.
Yeah.
So if I had, you know, 5 hours to myself in the evening, what would I do?
Yeah.
I could have gotten in trouble. My grades could have got even worse. I could have fallen to a different group of friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, I'm thankful that it happened now. Unfortunately, it happened under, you know, somewhat negative circumstances. But, like, even, like, let's even step away from sports. Someone wants to ace their SATs.
Yeah.
You know, they're focusing wholeheartedly on that. You still need other things on the side.
Yeah,
if all your eggs are in one basket, you know, talk about attachments again. If you're fully attached to, like, you playing college ball or me playing junior A, that's why I wasn't that let down with my failures, and that's why I'm not that competitive, because all my eggs aren't in one basket.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's true. And I don't want to be that guy. Or, shit, I am that guy that's talking about, well, when I was 16, I wanted to do this and I wanted to do that. I don't want to be a guy that lives with regrets, but I guess shit just happens, right? So.
Well, it happens good. Like, you're a fucking key example of positive and negative as far as why shit happens.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing that I wish I could speak. I shouldn't say I should wish, but fortunately for myself, I don't have any extreme negative instances, so I can only talk about the positive things.
Yeah.
So I didn't get in the Calgary Fire Department, but now I'm with Rocky View Fire, or, you know, my wife and I didn't buy this house, or, you know, we couldn't make a kid hint then, now we're making one now, and it's...
So you take, what do you think of, what's the Mel Gibson, Signs, the Mel Gibson movie?
I was thinking about that earlier today.
Yeah. So
amazing.
So,
the end.
So you say... You want a Volkswagen, your next car. You want a Volkswagen. But now all you see are Volkswagens.
Yeah.
Were those Volkswagens always there before, but you just didn't notice them? And now that you want a Volkswagen, now you just notice them.
Dude, and that's
them.
The best example. I was shopping for a Jeep earlier in the year.
Yeah.
Like those old Cherokee Sports.
Right.
All you see, look outside right now, you'll see one.
Yeah.
Now that we're thinking about it.
Yeah.
And they're out there, but it just makes you more aware.
But, I think, because I think the power of our minds is a lot more extensive than we give it credit, I do think there is something about being magnetic, attracting some of these things into it. But to a certain extent, yes. Like, one of the examples I have is, I want, like, for some reason, I just, Brazil is a big place that I want to visit. So I had, one day, I had been out and about, and I met two people that were from Brazil. Separate times. Both from Rio.
Wow.
So just, okay, that's kind of interesting. met one at a place that I was staying at in a hostel area, and then another at a coffee shop. Okay, that's kind of cool, whatever. So I went back to where I was staying, and there was only one TV with one English movie place playing, and it was turned it on, and Fast Five was on, right? Fast Five takes place in Rio de Janeiro.
I go to Rio,
so I turned it on, and I was just like, oh, that's kind of cool, you know? So I make dinner, and then turn the TV off, and I was going to read a book and listen to some music. Turn on the music, and it's Stan Getz, Girl from Ipanema, and I put my it on random for iTunes or whatever. Stan Getz, Girl from Ipanema. Ipanema is like the big beach in Rio, right by the favelas or whatever. And open up my new book of The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho from Rio de Janeiro, you know? And so it was just like ding, 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 ding. And I was just like, five things that happened right, like, within a few hours of all that stuff.
Red light. Huh. So why didn't you go to Rio the next fucking week?
Well, see, this is it. I was just like, the same thing happened to me with San Francisco. And I did it. I went to San Francisco. And the signs for San Francisco were even more. And I just got into graduate school there 2 weeks ago at a California
You never told me that!
Yeah! East-West Psychology Program.
How are we going to podcast?
Skype?
Satellite?
Maybe I'll fly back.
We'll figure it out. Dude, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's a cool program. But I followed my instinct. I was like, okay, there's something that's drawing me. I have to go do this. Oh, I have to go do this.
That's an amazing example, dude.
But nothing's really come of it. Am I a different person? No. Have I met a person that's changed my life? No. I'm a little bit disappointed. Like, when I went there, and one of the things that I had to go to Alcatraz, I was just like, something is there. Like, I don't know if it's something from my past life that, you know, I need to go and have some resolution there. I went there, nothing, you know? I was just like... Well,
because I think this whole, you know, I'll call it a coincidence because I'll be the devil's advocate here. This whole series of coincidences is still in its infancy. You haven't started going to school yet. You haven't started that journey yet.
Yeah.
You know, be it you go there for a little feeling out process and it might give you a little bit of indicators of how things are going to be.
Yeah.
But obviously... there will be obvious benefits of you doing that, but hopefully, you know, because of the, you know, quote unquote Mel Gibson signs that you saw that led you there, I'm sure it'll be something fucking outrageous.
But you look at signs and what, the dude's wife dies years before, like, whatever, Joaquin Phoenix needs to hit the guy in the head with his baseball bat or the alien, you know,
or
whatever.
Yeah, he needs to swing. Dude has
swing
asthma.
Swing away. Yeah.
They can't breathe and the chick leaves water laying around.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really cool.
I love that stuff, so I want to be open to it, but at the same time, you're like, I'm just being stupid. Like, this is just silly. Like, you can't, you know, like, there's a certain level of, okay, enough's enough. Like, you can make a sign out of anything then. You can, like, like we said before, were those Volkswagens, was Fast Five always just on that month? And was, you know, Paulo Coelho, he's just a very popular reader. And I love Stan, like, all of, you know, you can draw something out of nothing, really, right?
Exactly. And so I haven't really thought about it until right now, but I do have an example of myself trying to manifest something.
Huh.
And this is pretty big for me because I'm a proof is in the pudding kind of dude. But what I was going to touch on before I thought about that is, be it if you believe in these things or you don't, there's two positive reactions to it. So they can either... So see, everything that you witnessed was positive. Use it to inspire you.
Yeah.
And you pursue it. Or you could slowly start to experience all these negative things. And they're there to warn you, or to, you know, steer you another direction. But I don't think it really matters how often it happens or if it happens. It's fucking how you react to it.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you could be so fucking oblivious. I don't want to say it could be a missed opportunity, but it totally could be.
Yeah.
So say if you weren't being mindful, you weren't, you know, noticing all these things that happened about Rio, all these things that happened about San Fran, you wouldn't apply to that school, you wouldn't have got in, you wouldn't be fucking going.
Yeah.
And now you are.
Yeah.
And that's really cool, dude. And aside from this one little instance that just randomly popped into my head, I've never tried to do that, but in the same stride, I've never been open to letting it happen.
Right.
And that's a failure on my part. But what I was thinking of, I don't know why, not to touch on finances, but I wanted to set myself a goal to be debt-free by a certain year, and I wanted to make $100K in 1 year.
Right.
And not to get too personal, but debt-free today.
No way.
I got the money from our house. Yeah, dude. I actually haven't transferred any of that money yet, so I've got a lot of zeros in my bank account, and I really want to go to Vegas with
awesome.
You right now.
Yeah.
But as of my bank appointment on Wednesday, my wife and I will both be debt-free.
Wicked.
And she went to school for 6 years, and we got
when
all
did
this
you
stuff.
Make that resolution? When did you
I can't remember.
That?
Probably a year ago.
Really?
Yeah.
And man, then, that's cool.
It's crazy, man. And the other thing, the 100K thing could very potentially happen because I actually haven't even told you this. I have another job with another fire department.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, it's not the most illustrious job in the fire service. It's industrial fire rescue on the rigs in Fort Mac.
Wow. Good pay, though, hey?
Great bread.
Yeah.
Great bread. But so I'm just a casual employee. Luckily, some of my former employees from Rocky View went there, and they're needing some good dudes.
Sweet.
So they're bringing me in, and next month I go for a 10-day stint. 10 12-hour day shifts.
And how's T-Town? Okay, is it okay with this?
I have 5 weeks holidays.
Ah.
So I'm burning some holidays.
See, that's true. Okay, yes, you want to make 100K, but the difference between you and the guy that just watches The Secret and tapes the dollar bill or the $1,000 bill above his head is because he sits in his basement and doesn't do anything about gaining it. But you're going to spend your vacation time earning money. And I was talking to people about this before, like how entitled our generation feels. Like, well, you know, where we've grown up with credit cards in our hands and we just live beyond our means and things like that.
Oh, but we're vain as fuck, man.
You're working your tail off. Man, you shaved your lid, hey?
I have to for the fire hall, sorry.
Okay. But you're working your tail off. And yes, you'll make 100K. And you know what? The year after that, you'll do very, very well.
Yeah, dude.
You know?
It's fucking exciting.
And you know what's crazy is the same amount of people that kind of got into real estate and what we've gone through in the past 4 years or whatever, not a lot of people made the kind of money that you made on your house, you know? And that's pretty cool, too, because there's a lot of people that are out there just trying to get out of their mortgage.
Oh, yeah, wishy-washy.
Break even. You know, after commissions, they're down 10, 20, 50 grand, whatever it is. You know?
Man.
So to be making money, that's good.
Yeah, man. And that's a sweet thing. I really want a negative example right now.
Huh. But
well, whatever. I guess I shouldn't wish those things upon myself.
No, exactly. But I don't think, but kind of what we were talking about last week, you're not a negative guy.
Yeah.
You know?
There could very well have been negative things, and I just don't fucking see them.
Yeah. See, me, I'll pick that up all day long. I'll be like, hey, like to the point where, like, I moved into this new house and there's spiders in the house. But I'm so convinced that I'm going to, you know, my karmic ripple effect, I'm carrying like 3 spiders out of the house to get them outside because I'm scared of what's going to happen. And you can't live your life like that. You can't, you know? But
well, you make fucking mistakes. I've made some horrible fucking decisions.
Yeah.
I think in a little bit here, we'll wrap things up, but I want to leave you with the closest example I have of Blaine's epic failure.
Right.
And this is nothing to do with connectivity. It's just a silly fucking story because apparently our viewers like my mistakes.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to begin. I'm in Thailand, probably where most mistakes happen in the world.
Yeah.
For guys our age.
Yeah.
I'm in Thailand, meet a girl. Sitting at a bar. I don't know if you know this story. I don't even know if my wife knows this story.
I think I know this story.
Meet a girl. Girl sits down beside me, and she's a local from Bangkok, but she speaks fucking brilliant English. This should have been a big old fucking red light for me. Speaks English. She pulls up, this is before digital cameras and iPhones. This is like 03. Pulls out a picture. And she's like, you look so much like my ex-boyfriend. I call bullshit. I think I have a pretty unique face.
Yeah.
Even like, you know those character guys try and draw your face?
Yeah.
They can't draw my face. This is just boring and normal and egg-like.
Yeah.
But the picture looked a lot like me, dude.
Right.
A lot like me. And the dude had like tats in the similar places and stuff. So I'm like, oh, that's kind of weird. So at the time, it was one of the best trips I had. I made friends with a bunch of locals and just partied with them at their bar and went to all the local joints. And it was fucking amazing 3 months. But this girl rang me in, dude. I literally knew her for about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And she's like, look, I know traveling can be expensive. You can stay with me.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck, the little voice in the back of my head is like, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
I do it. And I run to a payphone and I call Jeff Meir.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, I'm moving in with this broad. It might be sketchy. if I don't email you in 3 days, call the consulate.
Yeah.
Whatever,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So I move in with her, and things are great. We just, like, continued eating out, partying, and whatever, having a great time. She was sick, so I stepped out with those friends that I met her with. And they didn't know that we were living together. My new Thailand girlfriend. And they're like, oh, we haven't seen you in a while. Where have you been? I'm like, oh, nowhere. No, whatever.
Yeah.
And they're like, I won't say her name, but like, this chick, they're like, tread lightly with her. She has a reputation. Huh. I'm like, fuck! And they're like, what she does is, like, she's a nice girl, and all the balls to her for fucking doing this is she's just looking for a way out of Thailand.
Gotcha.
So they see a handsome white dude, and they see money, and they want out. So they're like, don't mess around with her. I'm like, fuck! And I have the worst fucking poker face. I'm just blushing like a mofo.
Yeah.
So, dick move on my part. I pull the old fake cell phone. Oh, you're in this part of Thailand. Okay, I'll come there in the next few days.
Wow.
When I'm with her. Because I just wanted to get out, dude. I was super nervous. And I just, it was just a sketchy environment. Things were just starting to feel sketchy and sketchier. And the spider senses were tingling. So I leave. Like an idiot, I stay in Bangkok. Run into her a few nights later at the bar.
Yeah.
And she's like, I thought you left.
Shit.
And I'm like, oh, no, didn't have to go anymore. And she's calling me out in public in front of these whole people.
Yeah.
And she's like, kiss me. And I'm like, no. Like, in front, I didn't want to kiss her in front of my friends and stuff. And I remember she had her, like, Nokia small cell phone. She had her Nokia cell phone in her hand, and she punched me.
Wow.
Like, right below the eye with, like, a hammer fist cell phone punch.
That's a Bruce Lee move.
And, dude, I should have fucking saw the warning signs and everything. So, long story short, I left, had a great trip, aside from those 3 weeks when I was scared, you know, not for my safety, but just for my well-being. And, you know, I had like $1,000 to my name. I didn't want to get taken advantage of and whatever. And, dude, I had her on Facebook. I think I deleted her. I had her on Facebook. I shit you not, 3 years ago, she lives in Denmark. A dude that looks just like me.
No.
Married.
Yeah. That could have been you.
It could have been me. And whatever. She was a cute chick and she was super nice. And you got to, I don't know. This is just me being fucking ignorant and seeing the positive in things. But she did it.
Yeah.
And hopefully I wish her all the best in her life. And I am super happy it's not
good for you for pulling the shoot.
Yeah, dude. I shouldn't have done the fucking first place.
Yeah. Huh.
Makes for a good story. Okay, friends.
Why don't we, you know what I'd love to hear is some of our listeners. Their stories about if they followed any signs, any things that have come up in their life.
Connectivity.
Yeah, let us know about it. And,
I forgot to say this. Zach's on Twitter. So, Z Lister.
And I haven't sent a tweet yet.
He doesn't know how to do it. Did you tweet right just now before?
No, but I will.
Okay, he's going to tweet. So, let's get him some followers. So, you know, use the hashtag Wisdom for the Way. And, you know, follow us, add us, and, you know, send us some direct messages or just mentions. And, we'll maybe read some on our next podcast.
Yeah.
And, because we, not to call you the negative side of things, but just to make things easy, you have negative examples. I have positive examples.
Perfect.
Let's try and get some more.
Yeah, absolutely.
Z Lister, spell it.
Z-L-Y-S-T-E-R.
Can you spell that with the phonetic alphabet?
How do you mean?
I'll try. Zulu, Lima, Yankee, Sierra, Tango, Echo, Romeo.
Sierra. I didn't see that one coming.
Thanks, friends. Talk to you in a week.
Later.